This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Robin Lundberg Show.
I am Robin Lundberg. Here on CBS Sports Radio.
Never heard your show before. I'm really glad I came across.
With Manfred. Did anyone ever get the sense he was like, this is something that I've wrestled with? No, he just, why do I have to answer these questions?
Hey, good morning from Canada. How are you doing this morning? Just want to say I listen to your show every Saturday morning and appreciate what you do.
The Cavaliers, doesn't it make LeBron look even better what he was able to do with that organization? They were a miserable dumpster fire before he got there. Then they were a contender. Then he left and they were a miserable dumpster fire. Then he came back and they went to four straight finals and won a championship. Then he left in their miserable dumpster fire again.
The Robin Lundberg Show is on the air.
And it is coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. People are trying to compete over what button you push and what NFL broadcast you watch. As Peyton Manning apparently going to get offered $18 to $20 million to do Monday Night Football for ESPN. Putting him above Tony Romo before he even called a game. What do you make of that? Would you pay Peyton more than you'd pay Tony Romo without ever hearing him broadcast? 855-212-4227. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. Sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Well, the reason you're seeing all this competition in the broadcasting is a couple reasons. One, for CBS, they have the Super Bowl next year. So they wanted to lock in their broadcast team so that their product felt prestigious when they had the biggest event in this country to broadcast. So they locked up Tony Romo. Now they know when they do the Super Bowl, they're going to have Tony Romo in tow. And they feel good about their Nance-Romo combo. ESPN knows that its Monday Night Football team is not well received and wants to please the NFL. And the NFL is daddy to a lot of these broadcasting companies, right? Like these networks, because it's the biggest property you have. I mean, it's Denzel Washington and Training Day. The NFL is popular everywhere, popular with every demo, is one of the only products that hasn't suffered a huge drop in the modern consumption age. It's just Teflon. Nothing hurts the NFL. We sit here and talk about whether the sport itself is sustainable. And it still doesn't hurt the NFL. So the broadcasting rights for the NFL are so highly sought after. That's why they're so expensive. And ESPN wants the NFL to be happy with the presentation. And clearly, people haven't been happy with the Monday Night Football presentation. So therefore, you see them throwing all this money at Peyton Manning. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Brady in Windsor, Ontario. Brady, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Brady?
Oh, nothing much. Great show as always, Robin. I wouldn't have any problem paying Peyton Manning as much as or more than Tony Romo because unlike Romo, Manning was one of the all-time great quarterbacks. And, of course, he was the face of the league for a generation. And he's so relatable that I guess ESPN figures that he can draw even more eyeballs to their Monday night broadcast. Now, it's going to be a lot of pressure on him to convey his knowledge. So, He's gonna have to show that he knows what he's talking about out there, like Romo apparently does. But I wouldn't have any problem paying him $20 million or whatever they fund to play him at least for the nonsense. Thanks for putting me on, Robin.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's not my money. I don't really care, right? I don't care. But I do think if Peyton Manning does take that after all this time, people have waited for him, it would be a lot of pressure for a broadcaster. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, not that big a deal, but it would be more pressure than a broadcaster has probably seen before, right? And Peyton Manning and pressure was a topic throughout his career. I mean, early in his career, especially, the narrative was much more that he failed in the big situations. It's why Clayton Kershaw, when he struggled in the playoffs, has been called Peyton Kershaw. And Peyton Manning was not as good under those big situations in his career, especially early. The reason being, I thought, you know, one, the teams just get better, right? The teams you play get better. The defenses get better. All that stuff. So any flaws that he was masking by his greatness are going to be on display when you're playing a tougher team. Two, I always wondered if the coach on the field aspect of it made it more difficult for him. Because, you know, you would always hear him get praised for being like an offensive coordinator or the coach on the field. But you never heard Peyton Manning, the coach, get criticized, right? That's when the real coach would get criticized. Dungy or whomever would get criticized. Manning would only get praised for that. But that's another variable you're introducing into a high-leverage situation. You know, all quarterbacks do stuff at the line of scrimmage. All quarterbacks check out of plays and blah, 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 blah. But Peyton Manning really was doing it all on every play. So in addition to having to perform physically at a very high level, he had to perform mentally at a very high level. So it was just another variable that I think you threw into the mix that made it a little tougher for him at times. But as that plagued him early on, he wound up winning a Super Bowl. Though he didn't play particularly well in that first one. And he wound up winning another Super Bowl. And though he was past his prime in that Super Bowl. So we never really saw prime Peyton Manning or the best version of Peyton Manning win the Super Bowl. But it was super impressive when he went to Denver and tore it up immediately there. And obviously the guy's one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever lived, and won plenty of playoff games too. I don't want to overstate any of those struggles. They were a thing in his career. I don't think anyone will ever regard him as the most clutch quarterback they've ever seen. But I also think he did enough to knock down the idea that he was a choker at the same time. And is one of the five best quarterbacks who ever lived, I'd have to say. Maybe three best. I mean, he's right up there. I mean, Peyton Manning. Here's the thing. When Peyton Manning was on a team, you knew that team was winning like minimum 11 games, right? Like minimum. And that's an impressive feat. But of course, throughout his career, he was compared to Tom Brady. And when Tom Brady got Randy Moss is when things changed a little bit. Because up until that point, the Brady Manning conversation was very much like the Jeter A-Rod conversation, where Tom Brady was Jeter and Peyton Manning was A-Rod, where people thought A-Rod didn't come through in the clutch like they thought Manning didn't come through in the clutch, but the numbers were just so much better than the other. But Jeter was a winner. Brady was a winner. Once Brady got Moss, Brady started to put up the numbers too. Maybe he was never quite exactly Peyton Manning, but he was right there when it came to the numbers. And Brady started to just add to his resume. And then eventually the Brady-Manning debate faded away because Manning is no longer in the NFL. And as good as Manning was, injuries and everything else, you know, ultimately shortened his career. And when we last saw him, he was more or less a shell of himself. Tom Brady has kept going and kept winning. And so you add up the total number of rings. You add up where they rank respectively on the passing lists. And I think for even the most ardent Peyton Manning supporters, it got harder and harder to make the argument for him. I think there's still people out there who would make the argument for Peyton Manning. And I think there are others out there who, even if they're not arguing for Peyton Manning, would tell you that if, you know, they're being completely honest, who do they think was better at their peak, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady? They would say Peyton Manning. But because of career longevity, because of winning, because of statistical measures, you know, being exceeded, Tom Brady has sort of run away with that debate. He's sort of run away with that debate. And incredibly, Tom Brady's still going. He's still in the league. And I don't know if you've heard this, but he's a free agent. I might be breaking that news, on this show right now, but he's a free agent. And, you know, generally, I thought the craziness around a star free agent was reserved solely for the NBA. You know, that was always a big-time story in the NBA, and people go crazy about what's going on and where somebody might sign and what they're doing. But I'll tell you what, nothing makes sports media more reckless in speculation than a star player hitting free agency. Because not all reports are created equal. And you start seeing reports during these things that aren't really reports, right? Once we start talking about real estate and where kids are enrolling in school or Julian Edelman's facial expressions, we're not really dealing with reports. And you see the same thing in NBA free agency, where even the best in the business start running with stuff that you're like, wait, did they really report? You almost forget it when it's done with because it seems so soap opera-ish and gossipy in the midst of it. And we're seeing that now happen with Tom Brady, because where has Tom Brady not been linked? He's basically headed everywhere, right? I mean, he's been linked to the 49ers, the Chargers, the Bears, the Titans, I think the Colts I've seen out there. Am I missing? Obviously, could go back to the Patriots. I think I'm probably missing one of the big ones. The Raiders, you know, Dana White's calling him on the phone, telling him to go to the Raiders. And it's just blah, 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 blah. And that's the way we deal with these free agent reports. But in Brady's case, is it worth it? Right? Like, that's what's funny about it now. And no disrespect to Brady. I was just saying, he's the Family Feud answer for greatest quarterback of all time. If you're on Family Feud, they say he was the greatest quarterback of all time. Boop! Tom Brady's the number one answer on the board. But Tom Brady, you know, even though he can still play, he is older. I mean, he's, what, 40-something years old now. And he's not coming off of his best season. And if he were to go somewhere else, you know, he would have to be around less of the system that he's been in. He's 42. Less of the system than he's been in. All that stuff. A lesser team, lesser coach. I mean, let's put it this way. I just mentioned the Raiders. They're going to be in Vegas. If Tom Brady were to go to the Raiders, would you bet on them to win the Super Bowl? Would you bet on them even to make the playoffs necessarily? So I think with Brady, the hysteria is much more about his celebrity than his ability right now. Is the Tom Brady free agency craze worth all the attention it's received considering where Brady is at in his career? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it is here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show. Just another pretty face. No, really, he's not. Here's Robin Lundberg.
Robin Lundberg here with you on CBS Sports Radio. The Benjamins coming for Peyton Manning could get $18 to $20 million a year in the broadcast booth from ESPN. Would you pay him more than Tony Romo right off the bat? 855-212-4227. Plus, Peyton's old rival, Tom Brady, still in the news as the hysteria about his free agency is swirling. I wonder, is it worth it? Like, is the attention worth what Tom Brady's actually provides at this point? I mean, Tom Brady on the Patriots, I still think the Patriots are contenders. You put him on the Patriots, you add offense there. They were 12-4 last year. Not like they were terrible. I think if you boost up the offense, I'd still take New England very seriously. Tom Brady anywhere else? I don't think I'd take that team that seriously. You know, I would say Brady on the Patriots still knows how to pilot that ship, so he can land it. But everywhere else, I'm not, you know, I don't think he can build the ship from scratch at this point, or fly himself, right? Like, he's not a superhero anymore. You know, he's a capable guy. And we're treating him at this age like he's just going to go somewhere else and show out. Now, if he did, I'll shut my mouth. But you know, I would tell you, Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time, all things considered. It's not a diss. It's just the way it is. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Red in Omaha, Nebraska. Red, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
What's good, my man? Hey, look, I just got to, you know, comment on Peyton Manning and why he could be offered more than your boy Romo, who isn't chopped liver in the booth. You know, I think he's going to have a better broadcasting booth career than he had a football career. But anyway, I think Peyton's a proven commodity. I mean, we've seen all his commercials. We know he has a plethora of football knowledge. So you remember that Dennis Miller experiment Monday Night Football tried to do years ago where they had a comedian to the booth? I think what you get is Peyton's funny, but he has a lot of football knowledge. So I think people will tune in with that. My question to you, Robin, is do you think he will accept that contract? And to add to your boy Tom Brady, man, I don't know what to say. He better have a hell of an offensive line in front of him without Belichick. So I'll shut up and listen off air.
Well, you know, look, I agree with what you're saying about Peyton Manning. I do think he'll eventually accept it, because if he wasn't going to do it, he should just say, I'm not going to do it, right? Like, the fact that he's still linked out there must be considering it. And remember, Peyton's not that far removed from the game. It seems like it now, but it's not that far removed from the game. I believe Tony Romo only played one more season than Peyton Manning. I think Tony Romo was in the NFL one more season than Manning. Manning was done in, what, 2015, I believe? So it's only been a few years since Peyton Manning was done. Your point is right. It's what I brought up before. Peyton Manning seems to have it all going for him. I mean, he's got the accomplishments as a player. He played in a way where he was a coach on the field, right? Like, so you would think the way he assessed the game at the line of scrimmage, he should be able to do that in the broadcast booth. And on top of that, he's charismatic enough where he's good in commercials. He can host Saturday Night Live. So if you were basically creating the perfect NFL broadcasting prospect, it would be Peyton Manning. Instantly recognizable to the fans. They know right away that who it is. He, you know, he's got star power. They've seen him in their living rooms forever. They know how he played the game, you know, and they people who are programming know he's good on camera. The only issue is he hasn't done that specific job before. And from all accounts, he would be great at it. I would bet on him being great at it. But sometimes things are different, just slight differences. Again, some people are better at writing than they are at appearing on camera. Some people are better at stand-up comedy than they are at appearing in movies, acting. Some people are better in movies, acting, than they are live on a stage. Some people are, you know, so on and so forth. Now you get rare talents, you know, who can do just everything. Jamie Foxx can do everything, right? Guy can do everything. But, you know, some people are just, their skill sets translate to one medium, even if they're related, better than others. Like, let's take some of the other guys I just mentioned. You know, Charles Barkley is amazing in his role, but do you really want to hear Charles Barkley on the call of the game? Not really, right? We've seen that. I think he's done that before. Don't really want to see that. Like, you want to see him in that studio letting it rip. You know, the other guys I'm thinking who are star broadcasting peers, Stephen A. Smith, you know, I know ESPN puts him everywhere, but, they're, you know, he has a bread and butter that has made him successful. And in fact, when there's real blowback against him, it's generally when they're trying him in other roles that he hasn't been as familiar with. So on and so forth. So Peyton Manning, you would think, would be really good at that. You would think. But there's no guarantee. Because we didn't know about Romo until we heard him and saw him do it, right? Like, I guess you could have said the same stuff about Romo, though he was nowhere near as famous or recognizable or as universally liked as Peyton Manning, and he wasn't as good a player. I mean, and Tony Romo was a pretty darn good player. I think people go out of their way to kind of, you know, disparage him now because he's getting so much love as a broadcaster. But Tony Romo was a very good NFL player. Peyton Manning's a legendary NFL player. But you didn't know Tony Romo was going to be what he became until you saw, wow, this guy's just really good at this. Right? He just has a natural talent, a knack for it, almost like he was born to do it. You know, and that says something. When you're as good as Romo was at playing quarterback in the NFL, it's hard to imagine you'd be naturally better at something else. But I think he's naturally better at being a broadcaster than he even was as a quarterback. I can't. Now, it's coming from a higher standard with Peyton Manning, but do I believe Peyton Manning will be a better broadcaster than he was an NFL player? Again, the standards are not the same because Peyton's starting from such a high peak. That's the difference. I'm sure Peyton Manning will be very good, but people are going to expect him to be the best off the jump because he's been sought after for so long and because all the media attention that's going to come with him signing that deal if he does indeed sign the deal at that number. Would you pay Peyton Manning more than Tony Romo immediately to broadcast games? 855-212-4227. And we're also discussing Peyton's old rival, Tom Brady. Where do you think he winds up? Is the attention he's receiving worth it, considering where he is in his career right now? 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's ROBINLUNDBERG. I realize, I guess because it happened early in the week, hadn't gotten to the Spike Lee thing as of yet either. I have some thoughts about the way the whole Spike Lee thing went down at Madison Square Garden. We're a little bit further removed, but I'm almost in disbelief still that that actually happened, that was a thing that took place. Like, I mean, that dude's the face of their franchise, basically. I mean, it's not far from being the face of their... I mean, Dolan, unfortunately, is probably the face of their franchise right now. They got to change that. You'd probably want to, you know, paint over that face and get a new one there.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show. Worth of talking points, here's Robin Lundberg.
Speaking about a week's worth of talking points, earlier this week, the unfathomable happened. The Knicks got into a public feud with Spike Lee. I mean, I suppose with the standards for the New York Knicks, nothing should really surprise me. They did have Charles Oakley arrested. You know, like, and with both of these cases, like, Charles Oakley did something, right? Like, let's not be dumb. Charles Oakley was not in a situation where he was some innocent victim. Obviously, something took place there. But even still, you can't have Charles Oakley taken out of Madison Square Garden in handcuffs. Are you crazy? Like, I don't think people know, maybe if you're not in New York, what Charles Oakley means to New York fans, Knicks fans. Like, he's the guy. He, like, sort of epitomized what New York basketball was about in the 90s, the identity of the Knicks. You know, if I'm going to close my eyes and picture New York City in the 90s, I'm seeing some Timberland boots, I'm seeing the Wu-Tang Clan, and I'm seeing Charles Oakley. Right? Like, that's what I'm seeing. So, like, you can't do that. But you know, with that said, I'm sure Charles, you know, Oakley was a little rambunctious, or whatever word you want to use in that instance. Fast forward a couple years. I guess with that being the standard, nothing should surprise me. I still was honestly in disbelief as I watched this Spike Lee thing unfold. I mean, is Spike Lee the face of the New York Knicks? He very well could be the face of the franchise. It's probably James Dolan at this point, like I said before. But Spike Lee's been around the Knicks for so long. He's been around the Knicks since they were last good. Like, consistently good. When I was talking about Charles Oakley, Spike Lee was there. Reggie Miller, the choke and all that stuff. Spike Lee, front row. You know, catch me at the Knick game, Big Chain, next to Spike, if you pan left or right. Like, all these references to Spike Lee and what he is as an institution when it comes to the New York Knicks. And he's repped that sorry franchise with pride for a long time. Now, I don't care what happened. Like, again, this is another instance where with Oakley, it's not about the what, but the how. I'm sure in the what, the Knicks were justified in some of the way they behaved. The how they handled it is the problem. You know, with Oakley, what do you got to do? You got to get this guy out of public view. You got to get him, you know, security, whatever, get him out of public view and handle it there. Charles, man, we got to defuse this situation. We're going to cool down over here and just let it be quiet. You can't have Charles Oakley physically escorted out of the arena in handcuffs where cameras are watching. Like, I can't believe that that's the thing that happened. Same thing goes for Spike Lee. All right. Was there a legitimate reason why they didn't want him using the employee entrance anymore? Because that's what the spat was about. He was using the employee entrance and they wanted him to use the VIP entrance or something. Maybe. Maybe there's some legitimacy there. Maybe that's the policy. And for whatever reason, it was just being enforced. I don't know. But if that's the case, do you not reach out to Spike Lee privately and say, hey, Spike, you know, like, we're sorry. We're going to have to start, you know, cracking down on this because you're the only guy who uses this entrance. And really, we want to give you 5-star treatment in the other entrance. Whatever. Spike Lee showed up to go through that entrance, which he'd been going through for, I don't know, however many years. And I can attest that he went through that entrance because I've been through that entrance with him. I used to cover the Knicks. I went through that entrance all the time. I hate that elevator, right? I hate it so much. But, like, I was in that elevator with Spike Lee countless times. He constantly would come through that entrance. So that was his habit, you know? And by the way, Spike Lee should be able to come through that entrance. I mean, for repping your team, as the Knicks should be grateful for every fan that they have at this point in time. How are they not grateful for every fan they have, especially a high-profile fan? I mean, they've given fans every reason to not be fans. Spike Lee's from Brooklyn. The Nets are in Brooklyn now. He could have jumped ship to the Nets, and I don't even think you could be that mad. Like, that's his hometown. Or he could have at least said he's going to rep both teams. He didn't. He's Knicks, orange, blue. You know, basically should be royalty there. But he shows up, and they say, you got to leave the arena and come out back through the other entrance. So they want him to physically leave the arena and come back through the other entrance. And if that's not enough, the statement that they put out after, it's like a cartoon character released the statement that the Knicks put out about this. Again, remember, you're dealing with a team that has done almost everything possible to alienate its fan base. Anyone want to check the box score for the Dallas Mavericks game last night? I'm going to go ahead and check it real quick and see when I'm talking about alienate the fan base. You know, not only just stuff like this embarrassing thing with Charles Oakley, not only banning fans from the Garden for chanting sell the team, right? Apparently last night they increased the volume of the music inside the arena because some fans were chanting sell the team and they wanted to drown that out. But just from the basketball standpoint, the basketball moves, Kristaps Porzingis, I mean, he only had 26 points and 11 boards last night. That was it.
Fifth straight game with 20 and 10 for KP.
Plus 38 on the court last night. 4 blocks to go with the 26 and 11. I want to look at his game log real quick just to take a gander. Yeah, the game before that, he had 34, 12, 3, and 5. The game before that, 38, 13, 4, and 5.
The last five games, he's averaging 30 points and 12 rebounds in the last five games.
And they traded him for nothing. For nothing. Do they still have some? They must have some picks still to come from that trade, but they're Mavericks picks, so they're going to not be great. And the second best player in that trade was Tim Hardaway. I mean, I was stunned when they made that trade. And I know it's like, oh, he didn't want to be there. He was under contract. And then why don't you examine why he didn't want to be there if he didn't want to be there? Think about that for a second. And Spike Lee, you know, again, he should be rewarded for his loyalty. Because there's no reason anyone should be loyal to the Knicks anymore. Like, what have they given? Why do fans even do it? I don't even know how and why. And it's like with the Lakers, if they instituted a no sunglasses policy at Staples Center, would they go ask to remove them from Jack Nicholson's face? No. Would they maybe politely communicate over time that they wanted him to do it? Anthony, help me out. Are you still a Knicks fan, right? I mean, how do you do it?
Of course, I will always be.
Yeah, but why?
Because I just have a connection from growing up. It meant so much to me growing up as a kid with my father, with my family, friends, yeah, rooting for the team. So I just have a lot of great memories. You know, the early 90s, late 90s, 99 there. You do have good memories from those years. And just hoping that at some point down the road you get to experience that all over again. But, yeah, it's just that connection from childhood.
Sure, and New York City is desperate for, you know, the Knicks to be good. They have been for a long time, and there was no alternative. I mean, the Nets are a brand-new alternative. I saw the Nets release their, I don't know if anybody's seen the season ticket renewal package or whatever the new renewal package is. I have a picture of it here. Let me find it real quick. But they have a renewal package that says Kings of New York, limited presale for 2020-21 season tickets. Reserve now at Nets2020.com with a picture of Kevin Durant. You know, and that's when things are going to get really interesting, when Durant and Kyrie are both on the floor for the Knicks. For the Nets. Because there's never been a real alternative to the Knicks. And in New York City, I've said it before, in its heart of hearts, it really, I think, wants to be a basketball town. You know, Anthony just hit on it. Like, this nostalgia for a team that was a very good team, but never won a championship or anything like that, is so powerful. You know, you had Charles Oakley and Patrick Ewing and Anthony Mason and John Starks and all those guys that people just love. They love that team. And that's the only thing, you know, it's almost arrogance to this point to assume that fans will just never go away. And I guess they've proven they won't go away because the franchise has given them every reason to. Every single reason to go away. Like, why would you pay to watch that team? Why would you support an owner who's doing that to the people who have supported the team most publicly? Again, since Patrick Ewing left, has anyone been more a face of that franchise from a positive standpoint than Spike Lee? And that's independent of what you think of Spike Lee. Yeah, I mean, he's also, I mean, a very accomplished guy. He just won an Academy Award, didn't he? I mean, just won last year. So I don't even know what to say anymore. It almost gets, it gets hard to talk about because, like, okay, the Knicks suck. The Knicks are terrible. The Knicks are an embarrassment. But it was just hard to believe that was actually true. I mean, could you believe that the Knicks actually got into a public feud with Spike Lee? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. I mean, they called him out. They said what he was doing was laughable in a public statement. The idea that Spike Lee is a victim because we've repeatedly asked him to not use our employee entrance and instead use a dedicated VIP entrance, which is used by every other celebrity who enters the Garden, is laughable. You know, like, just the wording of that statement.
Yeah, the wording it sounds terrible. Because, honestly, listen, again, it's, as you said, it's Spike Lee. They should let the guy do what he wants. But again, if the Knicks have been telling him now for a while, please stop it. If you're Spike, come on. You can't use another different entrance. Again, I'm with you. They should let the guy do whatever he wants. But if they've been telling him to stop it for a while and he's not listening, then I kind of have an issue. But that statement, the wording is awful. It's terrible.
Yeah, again, it's not the what, it's the how. It's the how they do it. I mean, it's like a cartoon character released that statement. It's like, I mean, we've repeatedly, if what you're saying, if your scenario is true, the statement should read, we regret what happened with Spike Lee at Madison Square Garden. We are honored to have had his support over the years. However, we've been trying to communicate a policy change to him, and a security guard, you know, was a little overzealous and or was just trying to do his job in enforcing said policy. We hope to resolve this matter privately.
The employee doesn't want to get in trouble.
Yeah,
so
we hope to resolve this matter privately and see Spike back courtside where he belongs. You know, look, easy. Don't attack the guy publicly. Should Knicks fans, like, how did Knicks fans do it? You know, if you are a Knicks fan, how do you do it? And if you're not a Knicks fan, would you incur, you know, do you think Knicks fans are doing the proper fan thing by sticking by the team? Or has the organization simply gone too far at this point and they'd be justified in switching their team allegiance? 855-212-4227. Now, I say that I'm in New York City right now and I'm wearing a Brooklyn Nets hoodie. And honestly, when I've told this story before, but when I got to New York, I got to New York in 2004, and I did a lot of my early career work for ESPN Radio in New York, and I was working directly on a New York radio station, right? So I was talking about New York sports, and the NBA is my favorite sport. Basketball is my favorite sport. So I was hoping for the Knicks to be good. I would even rationalize some of the moves Isaiah Thomas was making at that point. And then it just got like overwhelming how bad things got over the years, and it was impossible to support. And I would tell the truth about the team, which got some of the fans mad. But nevertheless, I always rooted for the Knicks to do well because it would be better for what I was doing and for the city. That was, you know, the Nets emerged, different things happen, whatever, you know, and I like the idea of a rivalry. I wanted both teams to do well. When the Knicks traded Porzingis, that was kind of the last straw for me from a, like, you know, I'm going to keep trying to prop this team up to any degree, even though I was always criticizing them because that's what they've earned. But I have two young kids, and I thought it would be fun to root for a basketball team together. So I chose the Nets, given that I had faith in their organization. And I publicly campaigned for Durant to sign with Brooklyn. I didn't know he was going to sign with Brooklyn, and then he did. And I mean, think about that. Like, just in press releases, the Knicks have had a couple of bad ones this year. You go back to the summer, they apologized for losing free agency when Durant and Kyrie went to the Nets. They went to the Nets, and then Steve Stout, who, if you're a rap fan, you knew Steve Stout, but he's not like on Drake's level. He sort of compared himself to Drake when he took over his brand ambassador, whatever the hell he's doing, for the Knicks. And on the first day, he basically fired the coaching staff, and they had to put out a PR statement to try and make that mess go away. Not to mention, fans were apparently interrogated the other night at the Garden for chanting sell the team. And Spike Lee, they feud with Spike Lee. It's almost like the Knicks beat is a dead horse at this point, right? You're covering the Knicks beat, it's a dead horse. There's not much else to say. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. You know, we've talked about LeBron's comments on the coronavirus and how if they were playing without fans, he wouldn't want to play. Talked about, obviously, the Knicks and Spike Lee just now. Whether you'd pay Peyton Manning more than Tony Romo to broadcast the game, and the situation with Tom Brady in free agency. So all those topics are on the table as we got another hour to go here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. I am Robin Lundberg here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.